Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, we had expected Jim Gavin to join us here on the programme this morning in the last of our series of interviews with the candidates for the role of president. But clearly events have taken us in another direction, and his decision to drop out of the presidential race with immediate effect is certainly dominating the headlines this morning. Now, his withdrawal follows a report in the Irish Independent on Saturday that he owes a former tenant €3,300, which was mistakenly paid to Jim Gavin and that he didn't pay back. Well, in a statement issued late last night, he said, "I made a mistake that was not in keeping with my character and the standards I set myself. I'm now taking steps to address the matter." Let's first of all speak to Niall Collins, Minister of State at the Department of Justice and Fianna Fáil TD for Limerick County. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What's your reaction to what's happened?
Well, it's hugely disappointing. There's no two ways about it. You know, to find ourselves as the largest party in government, the largest party at local government, and in the middle of the presidential campaign, our candidate has withdrawn. So there's no sugarcoating it, Claire. It's a really disappointing moment for all of everybody associated with Fianna Fáil, for our organisation, for our membership up and down the country. And, you know, obviously it's a tough period for Jim Gavin and his family. Politics is a hard grind, and he's learnt that. It's been a steep learning curve for him in relation to that. So,
what do you think went wrong here?
Well, look, obviously he's made his decision. He's called it himself in relation to the issue of a payment being owed to a former tenant, and that seems to have dogged him for the last number of days. And I listened this morning to Fiona Sheehan in terms of the whole chronology of events around that, and how it was handled. And I heard also my colleague Jack Chambers when he was interviewed by RTE this morning,
yeah,
in relation to the due diligence and the fact that this wasn't declared, you know, to the party when deliberations were happening in advance of his candidacy. So I suppose we live in an imperfect world, and, you know, there's left fielders out there, and this is one of these moments when left field has completely derailed a Fianna Fáil candidate and a Fianna Fáil campaign.
So you're not saying that this is anyone's fault. I mean, what do you say about what it means for the leadership of the party and the people who made this decision to run Jim Gavin?
Well, I think you have to take it in context. Like, this is a Fianna Fáil issue. We will deal with it as a Fianna Fáil issue. It's not a national crisis. There is obviously the presidential election is a very, very important event. It's the highest constitutional office in the land, are pretty much up there with the rest of them. It's disappointing that we're out of it, but look, at the end of the day, it's the job of government, it's the job of all of us who are in government, who are in parliament, to get on with. You know, out there in the real world, people are getting up every day, going to work, going about their everyday lives, raising their families, doing their day-to-day activities, and all of that's associated with life. So our job is to try and run the country.
But you, Niall, and your colleagues in Fianna Fáil have spent an awful lot of capital on this candidate who was put to you by the leadership of the party, by Micheál Martin and by Jack Chambers. You were all told to row in, and you all did in the end for a finish. I mean, you must feel let down.
Look, like, everybody is disappointed, and, you know, Micheál Martin will be, you know, as equally, if not the most disappointed out of this. There's no two ways about it. And I'm sure he will acknowledge, you know, and he will take his share of responsibility in relation to this. He's not a shrinking violet. By any yardstick or by any measure, Micheál Martin is a very, very substantial politician. And, you know, most of the time he gets things right. We've grown substantially under his stewardship and his leadership since 2010, since he took over. We're now the largest party, as I've said, in Dáil Éireann, in local government. Mm-hmm. He's returned us to government
with no candidate candidate in the presidential election.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's the point that I'm trying to make. You know, take this in context. This is one candidate who has dropped out of the presidential election. It's the Fianna Fáil candidate. It's a matter for us within Fianna Fáil. We will have, obviously, a very serious examination of this. But look, you know, life will go on, Claire. Life will go on. The work of government has to go on. We have the budget this week. We have, you know, the country to run. We have all of the responsibility that brings with us. Unfortunately, our candidate has crashed out. And, you know, it's a low moment. I'm very, very disappointed for our membership, in particular around the country. I think some things within Fianna Fáil have to change. For example, the method by which we select our presidential candidate. It is a fact that we haven't run a presidential candidate in almost 30 years, so we didn't have to select a candidate in that period of time. And I think our rules within, you know, the party structures need to change to allow our broader membership and particularly our councillors the opportunity
to have a meaningful input into
how we pick our candidates.
When Billy Kelleher put his name forward, it was on the foot of the disharmony and upset around how it was being handled by the leadership. So you're saying now that what this has proved is that that needs to change.
I think it does. Like, you know, we had the general election in 2020. We had a proper look back in relation to that. My colleague Sean Fleming did a report in relation to that. That brought forward a number of recommendations. Actually, one of the recommendations, which are indeed one aspect that we didn't look at, was how we select our presidential candidate. And I think that's certainly something we're going to have to sit down as a party, a parliamentary party, a broader membership through our national executive, and do a proper, you know, in-depth look at this and come up with a series of recommendations as to how we're going to face into future presidential elections.
And I know your planned parliamentary party meeting is on Wednesday. Should that be brought forward now to tomorrow, do you think?
Look, the presidential election is what it is now. Our candidate has declared that he is withdrawn. There's two remaining candidates. The election goes ahead. The date for the close of nominations has passed. So we are where we are in relation to it. Mm-hmm. Our focus has to be, and the job of government is the budget. We have the budget now. This is budget week, which is a major event, obviously.
But do you not have a decision to make now around who your party should support in the presidential election?
That's not something that has to happen today, tomorrow, or indeed anytime soon. Because, you know, we as I said to you, we didn't contest the last number of presidential elections. I think it's 28 years since we contested the last presidential election. And we didn't, to my recollection, we didn't give any diktat or any recommendation to our membership. And I don't think that's something that's critical at this point in time. People, look, there's a binary choice there. It's one or the other, and people can make up their own minds as they engage and follow the debate.
Okay.
But it is disappointing for our membership, particularly those who were campaigning and had become actively involved and who were very encouraged and enthused about the fact that we had a candidate on this occasion, whence we didn't have a candidate on the last two occasions.
Okay.
So from that point of view, it's hugely disappointing.
All right, Niall Collins, thank you for joining us on the programme. Later on, we'll speak to Transport and Energy Minister Dara O'Brien, but I also have Barry Andrews with us, Fianna Fáil's Dublin MEP. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
And people will remember that you supported Billy Kelleher when he put his name forward. And when you look back to the hustings at the parliamentary party meeting that day, do you think it was a fair playing pitch?
Well, first thing I want to do, Claire, is just express my sympathy to Jim Gavin, who I think, you know, put his name forward in the right way. I met his family, his in-laws, his friends, his wider community. I saw him on the ground connecting with voters. A formidable candidate. What I'm upset about today is that, I'm not sure that we carried out the appropriate due diligence. People are throwing that phrase around very lightly. You know, due diligence is about not taking things on face value, on having the political sensitivity to know what matters in a presidential election. And I really wouldn't like to hear Jim Gavin being thrown under the bus on this issue. Of course, he made a mistake. He's now going to fix that.
Who's throwing him under the bus? Are you saying that?
Well,
I listened to
an interview this morning where Jack Chambers said that the implied that the party was misled, and I think that's unfortunate. I would rather that we had a proper discussion about this at the parliamentary party. I think we have to have an opportunity to reflect on what went wrong, what process should have been in place. And Minister Collins is right. We haven't covered ourselves in glory in the process. And just to answer your question that you started with, Claire, the reason I did support Billy was, first of all, because I recognise his personal qualities. And secondly, because I thought the process that was unfolding during the summer was completely inadequate. You know, Micheál Martin rebuilt our party after 2011 based on the idea of one man, one vote, one person, one vote, and also as a bottom-up exercise. And what has unfortunately happened here is we had a top-down process where the parliamentary party, the members, the councillors were
had no say, essentially,
on the matter, and I wasn't happy with that process.
Okay. Can we just go back to what Jack Chambers said this morning, because I want to go through it with you. So what he said on Morning Ireland was that Jim Gavin said he'd no recollection of the particular issue that was set out in the article in the Irish Independent on Saturday. Subsequently on Saturday, the tenant in question contacted the party and said they did have records relating to this particular issue. He goes on to say, and that was contrary to what the party had been told and what had been said on Friday. Now, what part of that throws Jim Gavin under the bus? Because clearly he was asked on Friday what was behind this story. He didn't hand over the details at that point, and the detail came from the other party in this matter, the tenant.
Well, I go back to my original point, Claire. When you carry out due diligence on something as serious as this, you have to carry out proper due diligence. You have to carry out proper investigations. And I think that we have to share the risk around that as a major political party. Jim Gavin is a novice. He wouldn't have the same degree of sensitivity about what is going to come up in a presidential campaign. And I think that we have to face up to that. I mean, we're less than 24 hours from all of these disclosures. Fiona Sheehan was able to find out this information in a very short period of time during the election. So, you know, if we're serious about acknowledging that this is a fiasco for the party, then we have to sit down and, you know, not be jumping to these conclusions so quickly. We have to have a proper discussion.
Yeah. We see this
the mistake
is all
we've made, as far as I see it, is that we've excluded the parliamentary party throughout this process.
Mm-hmm. But this is all a symptom, isn't it, Barry, of bringing somebody in who is a big name, but not a person who the Fianna Fáil party knows very well. And so you end up in this type of a situation.
Yesterday in the Sunday Independent, part of the survey asked people what they consider the two most important qualities in a president. And the first one by more than 50% was that the person should be a good public speaker. And the second one was that they should have political experience. Now, that's due diligence. That's the kind of thing you carry out. Now, Jim has many qualities, which I've, you know, seen in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, it's a very tough one for him. And, you know, when I wrote a piece for the Irish Independent back in June, the three qualities I thought were important was, one, that they would be able to withstand the rigors of the campaign and be politically resilient in that fashion. Two, would they understand the limits of the constitution? And three, that they'd be very strongly pro-European. So, I mean, that's what upsets me, is that Jim Gavin has now been somehow or another blamed for what's gone wrong. I think we need to really reflect on all of these things.
See, you seem to be blaming Micheál Martin. That's who you seem to be blaming.
No. I look, I'm clear about this. We have a process that was wrong, and I think we needed to have much more socializing of the process from the beginning, as we have done, and has led to the growth of the party over the last decade in the way that Niall Collins described, the largest party. You know, we doubled our MEP seats as well, just over a year ago. So the party is in good health, but this process was wrong, and it has to be brought to the parliamentary party.
But they're not nameless people who came up with the process. I mean, this was Micheál Martin, and to a certain extent, Jack Chambers.
Well, look, we're less than 24 hours after all of this is unravelled. I always prefer to have these discussions at the parliamentary party. Let's hear what they have to say. Let's hear what their explanations are. And I think a little bit of humility is appropriate here, because it has been a fiasco. And another problem we have here is that members of the public are very frustrated. I heard it yesterday when I was out canvassing for Jim Gavin, that they have so little choice, and now we've only two candidates.
So you gave up your Sunday to canvass for Jim Gavin yesterday, did you?
Well, we did an hour down in Dunleary with Cormac Devlin and a few other members of the party. Of course we did, and people were doing it up and down the country.
And what was it like on the canvas? What was the reception like?
Well, you see, Jim is a formidable campaigner. Like, I've seen him on the
really?
on the yeah, absolutely. He was He really connects with voters. And I said it online earlier, I'd hate to have to run against him in a general election if it was, you know, a ground game. But this is a huge ask to become a candidate in what is essentially fought on the airwaves when you've no political experience. And I think that, you know,
you
we need
knew
to
that.
Get some answers.
I mean, you knew that before this decision was made to run Jim Gavin. Why didn't Micheál Martin know that?
Well, these are questions we, you know, it's not about Micheál Martin specifically. You know, these are decisions
Why
that
not?
Were taken.
Why well,
because
not?
They're decisions
was
that were taken.
Jim Gavin's pick. I mean, you blame the process, but the process was arrived at by the leadership of the party, by Micheál Martin.
Yeah, I know you're obviously trying to get that conclusion, but I, you know, I have to acknowledge that first of all, Micheál Martin rebuilt the party from nothing since 2011, and now we are the largest party in the Dáil, the largest party in local government. We doubled our MEP seats.
Yeah, I don't understand how Barry can come on here and say this is a fiasco and not say that it's a fiasco of Micheál Martin's making.
Claire, we have, you know, we're less than 24 hours since this happened. I want to have a meeting of the parliamentary party where we have accountability, where we have explanations. I think we have to be fair to Jim Gavin and to his family. I think he was brought into this incorrectly, but I'm not going to be individually blaming people until I've heard those accounts. And this is what accountability looks like.
So
in carrying
you
out a proper investigation
okay.
into.
Well, let me put it another way. Are you clear, Barry, today that this does not impact Micheál Martin's leadership of Fianna Fáil?
I am absolutely clear about that. I don't think it's a leadership issue. I think this is, you know, we've got a budget. Tomorrow, we have to decide what we're going to do about the presidential election in 2 weeks' time. We have the presidency of the EU next year in the second half.
What do you think Fianna Fáil needs to do about the presidential election? And you know, what should happen now? And what are you going to tell your supporters to do?
Well, what I'll be doing is voting for Heather Humphreys. There's no question or doubt about that, for the reason I pointed out earlier, that we need a president that is strongly pro-European. And unfortunately for Catherine Connolly, she has a very ambiguous attitude towards the European Union.
All right, she would deny that. And I don't want to get into campaigning for different candidates on this programme, because we are in election mode and we do have two candidates as it stands. I'll leave it there with you, Barry Andrews, but thank you for joining us on the programme. And as I said, we're hoping to speak to Dara O'Brien a little bit later on. But now I'm joined by Louise Byrne, who's political correspondent with the Irish Examiner, Pat Leahy as well, political editor with the Irish Times. Now, Louise, before we chat, it was yourself along with other journalists who pressed Jim Gavin about this matter that we're discussing at a press conference yesterday, which was held after the RTE Week in Politics presidential debate. Let's have a listen to that moment.
Do you accept that you broke the law by not registering that property? How many tenants did you have in that property between the time that that tenant in question left? When did you surrender the property to the banks?
So as I said, it happened a number of years ago, 6 years ago. I'm still gathering data on it. It's part of my, so it's my life that I left behind. So I still need to do a lot of research and I want to have that information on the market.
You don't remember how many tenants you had in the house?
No,
you don't remember when you surrendered the property?
Not an exact amount, I don't know.
And just to point out, you didn't answer my first question. Do you respect that you broke the law by not registering the property with the RTB? I understand what you're saying, that the legislation was new. It was 5 years old by the time that dispute arose. That's a good chunk of your term as presidency, if you want to be presidency. So do you respect and do you accept that you broke the law?
So like in terms of the question you're asking me about the RTB, that was new law at the time.
It was 5 years old, Jim.
That was new law at the time.
5 years old.
Like many, many couples, but the majority of people didn't register at the time, but I declared all my income.
But you accept you broke the law by not registering that property? It's a legal obligation.
Yeah, I didn't register it, yeah.
Jim Gavin there, who was clearly under a lot of pressure, Louise, but from what we hear this morning from Jack Chambers, he set out what happened over the weekend. The writing was already on the wall, it would seem, for Jim Gavin at that point, because the tenant in question had been in touch with Fianna Fáil with the records that proved their version of events.
Yeah, and I think that's the most remarkable part of this, Claire, that Fianna Fáil had knowledge of this on Saturday. The tenant had contacted them. They were starting to see documents, and yet they let Jim Gavin go on the Week in Politics debate. They let Jim Gavin speak to the media for, I'd say it was close to 10 minutes yesterday. We were speaking to him over in the television centre here, and they just let him go ahead with that. They didn't say, well, Jim, we've gotten contrary information, or maybe they did, but they let him go out there with the answer that, oh, I'm looking into this more. If it happened, I'm sorry it happened. And it was putting him on the back foot right away. And you would kind of question, why did they put him in that position? Why were they setting him up to fail? Why were they not giving him a better steer than they were giving him? And I mean, I think there's real questions now to ask about what the leadership and what the party were doing by letting him proceed with those answers that he was giving yesterday, not only to Áine Lawler, but to myself and my colleagues after the debate, given that they knew that this was about to explode and implode on their candidacy.
And we've heard Barry Andrews there describing this as a fiasco. Does that tally with what you're hearing from other Fianna Fáil parliamentary party members this morning?
Yeah, and I mean, from the time this broke at 10:30 last night, to be honest, before it broke at 10:30 last night, when we put up that video of my interaction with Jim Gavin, I had members of the Fianna Fáil party texting me kind of all afternoon and into the evening, expressing concern about it, expressing concern about this, the situation that was surrounding it, expressing concern about how Jim Gavin was coped under the questioning. And then when everything kind of emerged last night, there was real anger and I think real shock as well within the party, and people saying to myself and my colleagues Paul Hosford and Tadhg McNally, who three of us were burning the midnight oil last night, but one TD was saying that the party is now a laughing stock and that Mr. Martin's standing, the Taoiseach standing as leader, is irreparably damaged. They said that it is a calamity, that it's mortifying, and suggestions as well that the Taoiseach has been distancing himself from this campaign for the last couple of days. And that was something else that was said to me early in the day yesterday, that was that the Taoiseach hadn't posted. Now, I know he was in Copenhagen, I know the budget is being negotiated, and this probably couldn't have come at a worse time, to be perfectly honest, for the government. But they were saying that the Taoiseach didn't appear to be out and about with Jim Gavin over the last few days. There's no social media posts, so they were questioning how long have they known that the writing was on the wall with this, and why was this allowed to go on?
Well, let's hear from Pat Leahy now, who's with us listening to all of that. Good morning to you, Pat, political editor of course, with the Irish Times. What do you think the fallout from this will be, in particular for the leadership, for Micheál Martin?
Well, it's very clear that the mother and father of all blame games is getting underway in Fianna Fáil, and to an extent we'll just have to see where that takes us. There's obviously the complicating factor that tomorrow is perhaps the biggest day in the political calendar when the government announces its budget, and that is a full-scale political operation to get out and sell a budget, and it's more difficult this year because they're not selling the giveaways and the good news that they would have been in recent budgets. There will be a Fianna Fáil meeting of the parliamentary party. I guess they will be briefed on the budget in advance of the in advance of its publication. So it will be, I guess, at some stage after that that they sit down to discuss the presidential election. But as Louise was saying, and as is very evident from the airwaves this morning, there's an awful lot of anger and disappointment, and an awful lot of that is directed at the leadership, is directed at Micheál Martin and at Jack Chambers, who's the directors of election. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, Micheál Martin has previously had difficulties in his parliamentary party. Looks like we're right back to that now.
Isn't it interesting to hear Barry Andrews saying that he wouldn't like to see people trying to throw Jim Gavin under the bus, and then specifically referencing Jack Chambers' interview this morning on Morning Ireland? It gives you a sense of where this might go.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in a blame game, isn't it? People try to avoid the blame going to them or their allies. I was quite struck by what Barry Andrews, and he was clearly angry that Jim Gavin is being blamed, when reading between the lines of what he says, he's very much saying that Jim Gavin should not have been put in this situation. And of course, he was put there by Micheál Martin.
Mm-hmm. And he also was suggesting that the process was to blame. And I don't know what your sense would be of where people think the process began and ended, but it seems clear that the process ultimately was arrived at and decided upon by Micheál Martin, and we saw that playing out over the summer.
Yeah, there was, as you'll recall, a host of names were circulating as possible Fianna Fáil candidates, everybody from Bertie Ahern to Michael Flatley and all stages in between. And a number of other candidates were apparently looked at by the party or by the leadership. But when Jim Gavin's name emerged, it was very much seen as Micheál Martin's project, his favourite candidate. He got behind Jim Gavin's candidacy and forced it through his parliamentary party. Now, the parliamentary party did vote by a majority in favour of Jim Gavin. But there was a very substantial number of them, 29 of them, who didn't. And I think that is a sort of a warning signal for Micheál Martin's leadership.
And where does it leave us in terms of this presidential race then, with two candidates in here? And, you know, as Barry Andrews says, the largest party in government and in local government with no candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if most Fianna Fáil, senior figures in Fianna Fáil, don't come out and back Heather Humphreys. Be extraordinary, I suppose, given the lineup that we are left with, and that one of their candidates is coming from a political position not dissimilar to their own and is from a party that they are in government with. I would imagine, though, that the management of that process within Fianna Fáil, I would be surprised if Micheál Martin doesn't defer to his parliamentary party on what official position the party takes. But, you know, people can work it out for themselves. Most Fianna Fáil votes, I would imagine, will go towards Heather Humphreys. That perhaps gives her an advantage. Looking at the numbers in yesterday's opinion poll, if the second preferences were borne out in the way that the poll suggested, that would be enough just about to get Catherine Connolly over the line. But look, polls at this early stage of a presidential election are not really reliable guides as to the eventual destination of it. Mm-hmm.
A lot can change, as we have seen overnight. Louise, I got the sense from the two Fianna Fáil members that we spoke to there that they don't see an urgency to deal with this at a party level. But we do have that parliamentary party meeting coming up, as Pat was explaining to us there. Do you expect that will be brought forward, that there will be a sense of urgency now to put this out there and have a robust discussion about it?
I think they're very lucky that the budget is falling tomorrow, because that is going to take away the attention off this for at least a few days. And even if you think about the choreography of the budget, the announcements are tomorrow. You'll have the money ministers in here on Wednesday, and the press conferences continue over the course of Wednesday. So there will be attention elsewhere. But I think the unfortunate thing for the government is, due to the lack of goodies in the budget, that Fianna Fáil are going to be in the spotlight. I think what you will see in the parliamentary party over the next few days is, I think, firstly, them coming to terms with this, because anyone I spoke to last night asking how everyone was doing, what the feeling was, the one word that came back was shock. And I would imagine, given the level of anger that we were getting back from the parliamentary party last night, that it will have to come to the surface. And if it's not this week, it'll be next week. There's already, like Pat was saying, they weren't happy with how the process went over the summer. And to be honest, even when I was speaking to Fianna Fáilers as far back as July, they were saying, you know, we just want to know what the process is. We don't want to know who the candidate is. We don't need to know all the details. We just want to know what the process is. And yet they were just never told. So there was, I guess, a suggestion at the time that when Jim Gavin was selected, that if he didn't do well, it would reflect poorly on Micheál Martin and might have impact on his leadership. I think this blows the whole thing wide open.
All right, we'll leave it there for now, but we'll return to this later on. As I said, Dara O'Brien will be with us later on the programme. But Pat Leahy and Louise Byrne, thank you both for being with us. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.